on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
So glad you took the time to join us on ABQ Connect today. All right, so many of us, we're either married or we've been around those who are, some for a short time, some for a few years, some for many years. And recent research shows the things that stress us out in marriage, sometimes it has to do with the number of years we've been married. And to help walk us through this study, the vice president of the Focus on the Family Marriage Institute, Dr. Bob Paul, joins us. Appreciate you taking the time, Dr. Paul, to walk through hopefully some very fascinating data with the audience.
Well, Steve, it's great to be with you. So thankful that for what you're doing and the opportunity to speak to your audience.
Dr. Paul, the research I mentioned in our intro is based on a 2025 State of the Family Marriage Study. Looks at the data really in a new way, as I mentioned. What does the marriage problems analysis explore?
Well, first of all, we had a very nicely large sample of people, almost 4,000 people that we interviewed. And one of the things that I think is unique about this was that we were wanting to see the impact of our faith on marriage and on life in many ways. But we did something that we don't see really typically done in the research. We divided the people based on the answers to the question into four segments: non-Christians, nominal Christians, which are just people that would say I'm a Christian but really don't have much real connection to the faith other than the title; born-again Christians, and those are people that would say they've had a born-again experience and so forth, attend church and all that; and then convictional Christians, which are people that are really serious about their faith and living their faith. And we looked at all of our results in light of these groups. So that was the first thing, and that was great. We were happy to find that when it comes to, well, several things we were happy to find. Number one, when it comes to marriage in general, that actually there are quite a few people in all of those segments who are doing well, would report that they have a healthy marriage. Beyond that, though, we did find that there was a fairly significant difference in people that really were living their faith. They were doing even better. So that was the good news. We did find there was, 20 some odd percent of the population were saying they were struggling. And the hard part for us there is that a very small number of them were interested and willing to reach out for help. So those were the basics of the research. Then the more recent stuff, which is what you're referring to, is that we've gone back and we've looked at it and we wanted to see if there was a way that we could analyze the data in a way that would be able to make it predictive of the kinds of things you're likely to encounter at different points in your marriage. So that was what this last pass on the research and the data was we were looking for.
All right. Well, I know when you have this data like this and you dive, the more you dive in, the more that kind of reveals itself. It's kind of like peeling back an onion. What insights really were gained as you went back in through this from examining the data by the, by years married, chronologically going through a marriage? What kind of things were you finding?
Well, some of this stuff is probably not going to be any big surprise to anybody listening. We did find that couples generally start relatively problem-free. So with stage one, we consider 0 to 2 years. And most of the couples that we were looking at were doing relatively well. It seems that the stressors start to grow as the time together grows. So the first major stress escalation really is stage two, which is years 3 to 6. And, there were 7 problems that really peak at that point. And again, this is probably not going to be any surprise to anybody. Sexual issues was probably the highest prevalence problems that we had. But what we found, and again, this isn't going to be any great shock to anybody, but stage three, the year 7 through 10, was where the most problems were occurring for people. We found 12 problems that really peak in that area, but this is really the most intense period for marriages through the entire marriage span. And then it stayed, the next one, which is a little less, is 11 to 4, which is stage 4. And then it starts to improve after that. So it's that real, those middle years, 7 to 14, tend to be the area that most people are struggling. And the thing, the purpose of doing this is that if we felt that if we could find out what are the problems that people commonly will encounter in these times, that maybe we could figure out a way to get with couples earlier in their marriage and say, hey, based on our research, these are the kind of things that you're likely to encounter. And let's see if we can do an end around. Let's see if we can find a way to help prepare you so you can avoid those normal issues.
Well, you know, as you mentioned in early years, some of the, you know, you mentioned sexual issues arise, and you know, as Christians, you know, we you know, we're abstaining from, God willing, we're abstaining from premarital sex, but you know, dealing with a problem like that or other problems other than sexual, you know, what without engaging, you know, what are some things that can happen pre-marriage or early marriage and be practiced to avoid some of those early stresses? And then we'll move on to, I mean, essentially what I'm hearing, 7 to 11, you know, it kind of, you know, is that part of the 7-year itch that we've heard of, you know, for decades? But some of the things, yeah, we can do before we head into those areas, to, you know, kind of, cut it off at the pass and avoid maybe some of these stressors.
Well, you know, one of the things that you know, I'm a marriage therapist by trade. And one of the things that I'm saddened about is that we don't do a better job as a culture of preparing people for intimate relationships. So, you know, to get early understanding of communication basics, let's say, and certainly premarital counseling, for goodness sakes, you know, things like that can make an enormous difference if we just, you know, the mechanics of negotiating and managing, maintaining a good relationship aren't horribly complicated. They're just not taught and they're not well known. So, you know, to have some relationship skills, an understanding of what it takes to build and maintain a great relationship would be tremendously helpful.
All right. Well, there are, you know, resources. We'll talk more about this maybe before our conversation is done, but I think it's a good point. You know, we're looking for places to get assistance, you know, before marriage and heading into different parts of marriage. A reminder that you can go to focusonthefamily.com, and there's, you know, the search engine there is pretty comprehensive. If you're going to put in, you know, maybe a stressor that you're dealing with, where you might find that. Is there any other navigation there that you might encourage the listener to consider?
Well, if you're married and you'd like to get some help with marriage, absolutely. Go to focusonthefamily.com, and there's a marriage tab, a pull-down tab, and you can click on whatever you're interested in. And it's filled with information and links and you know, things that you can do to get yourself prepared and equipped to be able to create a marriage that you love. And one of the things I think that's big for us is that we are convinced that to bless the Lord as He wants us to be blessed, it's to be able to create a relationship that both spouses love and love where it's headed. That we don't consider just figuring out how to endure or even mediocrity to be the goal. We, you know, God wants us to be blessed, and we want to do everything we can to help both people feel great about their relationship and where they're headed with it. So just look for help there, and I think you'll see that we have a tremendous amount of resource available.
Okay, and you may have touched on it earlier. What is that? What seems to be on the chronological map there that came as you dove back into this study. Where's the sweet spot? Is there a typical sweet spot? Is it post 14 years?
Well, we do find that, yes, that actually that couples that can work through, maintain the relationship, work through, persevere through the challenges, they actually get to a point where we call it the resolution zone, which is, you know, when they've been married for 25 plus years, that there really is that everything seems to get better. They tend to be working more as teammates. They tend to be focusing more on the reality and of the importance of building a great friendship, which, believe me, Steve, I wish people thought that way from the beginning. I wish that people were really working to build a really great friendship, because all the other intimate parts and the adventure and the excitement can be really enhanced if the friendship is there and you're using tools that will facilitate that. But if but people that even go through all the hardships, if they can make it, if they can just persevere through, it seems to be getting really, it seems to get much better in some of those later years.
Yeah, well, and I know every marriage is different. And I'll tell you that over 40 years ago, when I met my first wife, who's still my wife, I ended up marrying my best friend. Now, that didn't mean, you know, everything was rainbows and, you know, cupcakes. And actually, because our marriage was actually an instant blended family, when you were saying how early years in marriage are often, honeymoon, extended honeymoon, you didn't use those words, but that's kind of what I was hearing. But you know, when you marry into a situation where it's a blended family, you're really kind of almost automatically moving yourself down the chronological years, even though the number of years may be short. The typical marriage finds itself in the situation we were in, you know, raising children, when we were still children. We were talking about premarital counseling and not only dealing with the relationship that you're going to have with your spouse, but some of that, information about, you know, if you plan to, and God willing, you have kids, understanding what that means. You know, I think of that because you mentioned later in years, you finally get down being on the same team. And wow, if I could, you know, I look back and I think if we could have been more on the same team right off the bat in some areas, how much easier and better for us and for our whole family, we were prepared for that. But as you mentioned, there's things that you can do through counseling and resources to be well prepared to head into each of those seasons.
Yeah. And, you know, there are really some very easy to anticipate, with the right help, challenges, like we said, that people are going to deal with. And, you know, we have a program at Focus on the Family for couples that are in crisis called Hope Restored. And we are noticing that there is a fairly limited number of issues that we unravel for people that are relatively common. And it led Dr. Greg Smalley and I to write a book a few years ago called 9 Lies That Will Destroy Your Marriage. And the subtitle is, And the Truths That Will Save It and Set It Free, because we were finding that over and over again, we were encountering the same types of belief systems, sadly, some of which were perpetuated by the church, that were really setting people up to fail. And if you can anticipate those things, and again, realize either that you have that belief and it's setting you up to fail, or that it's one that you want to watch out for, it can really just help you avoid problems that really turn out to be unnecessary with the right understanding and the right training. Because at its core, doing marriage well isn't complicated. It's not always easy, but it's not complicated. There are simple truths, just like the gospel is simple. There are simple truths that can really help us thrive.
Yeah, you know, the encouragement would be to not think this is something you can do just without the resources and without the good counsel. You know, could you do well? Sure. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors that we've all heard, and hope that people will take advantage of that opportunity. You know, I want to touch back too, back on, you know, when we talk about marriage and marital stressors, and we're looking at marital stressors kind of through the years, and the number of years married may, you know, indicate, or, you know, be a normal place for specific marital stressors. I mentioned, you know, having kids, and, you know, it's one thing to be prepared to have a relationship with your lifelong mate. And any relationship is not easy to navigate without, practicing well. But you know, as a family counselor, I'm sure, you know, once you add more people into the family unit, then there's the relationship between the dad and the child, and the mom and child one. And then more, you know, and then when you start drawing lines between all the individuals in a family and how many relationships are in those families, you know, how much, I mean, I think I'm answering my own question, Dr. Paul, but you know, how much stress might that add to a marriage? Just, you know, the number of people in the family.
Well, I think the number of people is a big factor, but honestly, I think that most of us are relatively unprepared for what's going to change in our relationship when children come along. You know, we have a relationship without kids. Well, I know when you're a blended family, obviously you've got a variety of additional issues, but if you're having your own children, you know, you've got the relationship that you have prior, and then all of a sudden this little dependent infant comes along that needs more time and attention that you have the resources for, the time, the energy, the rest. And then you have expectations for each other and expectations for how it's going to go that are rarely spoken of, so that it sets up a series of clash points that can be really hard to manage, and it can cause you to really worry and doubt. And then again, you know, when we had our second, particularly 16 months after we had our first, I had never experienced that level of exhaustion before. I mean, I didn't know how to manage being that tired, let alone, you know, be able to take care of these kids. So, and Jenny and I didn't know, my wife and I didn't know how to adequately divide that up so each of us could have the rest and the resources to be able to take care of these children that we loved. So yeah, it's a setup for a lot of stress, because it's hard to be prepared for the demands and all that will change.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of information that's really needed to do it well, and to practice, put to use, and to sharpen a marriage. And obviously by doing so, when the kids are coming along, they are also watching and learning from us at that point. So if the better prepared we are, God willing, as they go on to the next generation and the next relationship, the next marriage, we'll see some of those quality practices be passed down. Not only the things that you learned through counseling, but just the fact that you chose premarital counseling, maybe counseling after the wedding, and also just resources that are available. Before we put a bow on the conversation, I want to remind the listener, we've been visiting with Dr. Bob Paul. He's a vice president of the Focus on the Family Marriage Institute. And we've been talking about marital stressors by number of years married, research that came out a while back that was looked at somewhat, but then kind of went back into it and found some of the things we brought up in our conversation today. Bob, Dr. Paul, any other thoughts or on the topic and or resources you want to make sure the listeners are aware of?
Well, first of all, you know, one of the things that we hear people say all the time is that marriage is hard. And, you know, certainly there are aspects of life that is hard. But, you know, marriage is really meant to be an absolute blessing. And God wants us to be blessed, and he will take us there if we can get out of his way and let him. And I'm all about marriage. I am always wanting to help couples experience the incredible opportunity that marriage presents. And, it took me and my wife a good long time to find our stride, but boy, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And there's opportunities that are there for us in a blessed, Christ-centered marriage that there really isn't any way I can think of outside of that to experience anywhere in life. So I just want to really close with an encouragement. And like I said earlier, if you're interested in finding out about our Hope Restored program, if you're in crisis, hoperestored.com is the place to go. We do intensive counseling there. The book, 9 Lies That'll Destroy Your Marriage, is an easy one if you want to find a quick little leg up to find a way to make the marriage even more of a blessing. And then focusonthefamily.com. We just have tons and tons and tons of resources because we want to do everything we can to help families and to help couples be fully blessed in the Lord.
All right. Well, Dr. Bob Paul, appreciate your insight, your investment in our marriages and our families as we listen to the insight you're able to give us, and look forward to having you back on. Open invite. Would love to have you back on another time.
I look forward to it, Steve.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.